Blog Talk Radio.
We are empowered, we are courageous, we are empowered and it's contagious. We thank God and sing His praises. Let's prepare for the future, prepare our lives to be wise. Wise on the Truth Forum with Erica Caldwell-Clinch, twice monthly at 8 p.m. Wise on the Truth Forum, prepare our lives to be wise.
Good evening to everyone on the line tonight. It is so good to be here with you all tonight. This is Erica Caldwell-Clinch, and I will be the minister of the word this evening. Welcome to WISE. WISE stands for Women Implementing Virtues for Everlasting Success. Once again, WISE stands for Women Implementing Virtues for Everlasting Success. My name is Erica Caldwell-Clinch. I will be ministering the word tonight. And if this is your first time with us this evening, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is definitely a ministry platform for not just married women, even though the acronym is WISE, but it's not just for wives. It's for single women, those that are divorced, and those that are widowed. So it's for every woman in every walk of life. So we welcome you tonight if this is your first time joining us. Also, if you are returning, welcome back. Those of you all that's been with us since we relaunched last month and have been with us the years past, we welcome you back this evening. So I want you to go ahead and make sure that you do have a paper, that you do have a pen or something to write with. This is not going to be a long word, but it's going to be one that is very impactful tonight. So before I begin, I want to go ahead and go into a word of prayer to cover ourselves and to cover the line this evening. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we come to you this evening, Lord, we do bless you, God, and honor you, God, for every single thing that you have done for us this day. Father, you are our beginning and our end, Father. There is nothing that we can do without you, Lord God, because, God, without you, Father, we are nothing. So, Father, at this time, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Father, we thank you for allowing us to have, God, just life, health, and strength this day. We thank you, Father God, for just the continuous blessings that you pour out on us day by day, Father. God, you just love us so much, and we cannot even begin to explain or even demonstrate enough our love for you, Father God. But we say thank you. We say thank you for giving us an opportunity. And as I come forward, Lord God, tonight on behalf of you, Lord God, and this word, Lord God, and your people, Father, I pray that you sit Erica down and, Father, that you will speak through me, that you will speak what it is that you want your women to hear tonight. Father God, I'm a vessel. I'll continue to say that I'm a vessel, willing and able to be used, Lord God. I thank you for finding me worthy enough, Lord God. I first want to say, God, please forgive me for any sin that I've committed. Any woman of God on this line, Lord God, I pray that you forgive them of their sin as well, Lord, and that you would grant us repentance, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We recognize and we know that repentance, God, is not something that we say, it's something that we do. We turn, Lord God, from those things that are not pleasing in your sight. So tonight, Father, as we gather together as your women, Lord God, we pray that this word will definitely penetrate all of our hearts, Lord God, and will cause us to be on a right path with you, Lord God, and a right standing with you, Father God, to be a better woman first, to be a better wife, Lord God, in Jesus' name. So, God, again, we say get the glory out of us tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray it all to be so. Amen, amen, amen. And welcome again to those of you all that chiming in this evening. We welcome you here to WISE, which is Women Implementing Virtues for Everlasting Success. My name is Erica Caldwell-Clinch. I am going to be the minister of the word this evening. Hopefully you do have something to write with and you do have your notebook or paper or everything of that sort so that we can begin. I am going to be teaching tonight, and this is going to be something that is going to cause us all to take a good look at ourselves. So many people, again, it's amazing. As a minister of the gospel, God will, I believe, strategically send people your way for you to minister to them, and you'll be ministering to them from a place that God has brought you from. And a lot of times it may be from a broken place that you were once in, and God has allowed and has pulled you out of that broken place so that you can help others. Because sometimes, let's just, truth be told, sometimes it feels like we're out here all alone. We know that we have God on our side, but sometimes it's like, God, is anybody else experiencing what I'm experiencing? Has anybody else seen what I'm seeing? So tonight, since our name is Wise Women Implementing Virtues for Everlasting Success, the Lord has been dealing with me. Erica, make sure that the women truly understand what virtues are and how to implement them in their lives. So first and foremost, I want to make sure that we understand what a virtue is. Virtue is who you are at the core of your being. It's who you are at the core of your being. It's moral excellence. It's goodness. And as I was researching and looking up more as it pertains to virtues, I ran across a definition that is just like none other. And it is by a man by the name of Arthur Holmes. And his definition is a long one. I'm going to give the definition, but then I'm going to go back and I'm going to break his definition apart to make sure that we're all on the same page and understand truly what virtues are. Again, this is by a man by the name of Arthur Holmes. And he says, a virtue is a right inner disposition, and a disposition is a tendency to act in a certain way. Disposition is more basic and lasting and pervasive than the particular motive or intention behind a certain action. It differs from a sudden impulse in being settled in a habit of mind and internalized and often reflective traits. Virtues are general character traits that provide inner sanctions on our particular motives, intentions, and outward conduct. So I want to say and try to break that definition up and put it a little bit more simpler for us to make sure that we understand. So virtue is our inner disposition. Virtue is who we are at the core of our being. And our disposition, once again, is a tendency to act in a certain way. And so our virtue is something that's more than a sudden impulse, as he says, of being settled in a habit of mind. So virtue is basically what comes from your very being. It's on the inside of you. And I'm giving an example. Elderly people have always been very close to my heart. And so I don't disrespect them. If I see an elderly person maybe walking in the store and they have a lot of different things in their hand, it is not within me. It is not within me to just walk away, you know, from them and I see them struggling. It's in me to immediately jump into help mode and to help them. That's not anything I need to think about. So it doesn't matter who they are or anything of that sort. It's immediately for me to go ahead and assist them. I don't have to think about it. But on the other hand, if you are someone that if you are rubbed the wrong way or someone says the wrong thing to you or they do the wrong thing to you, your first impulse is to cuss them out. That's what's on the inside of you. That is something that God wants to deal with us in that very area right then. That is something that's inside you, something that's inside me, you know, if that's what we're willing and able to do immediately. So what God is dealing with us in is what is on the inside of us? What is at the core of our being? How do we react in certain situations? If we're put in something, if we're put into a situation, and it may not be so very comfortable for us, how do we react? What is the virtue that is on the inside of us? Now, I want to go ahead, since I like being transparent and giving very practical examples so that everyone can be on the same page. I'll give an example of what happened to me yesterday. So don't even think for one second that we as ministers of the gospel don't go through issues where God's still dealing with us at the very core of our being. So yesterday we went to, my family and I, we were in Orlando. We got back today and we went to the classic with Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman University. And let me just put a side note here. Shout out to the Bethune-Cookman University Wildcats for the win over Florida A&M University. I wanted to put that in because I know my sister is listening in and she's a Wildcat. So I wanted to put that plug in there. But as we were going to the game, we had not been to a game in a long time. So my mom brought the umbrella, so she had an umbrella, a long umbrella. And so we were getting ready to enter into the stadium. So on me, I had my purse, I had my son's jacket, I had my mother's towel, I had a shirt that I bought, I had an umbrella in my hand, and then I had my sister's selfie stick. So I had not only me, but I had a lot of other weights on me. So when we got to the stadium, going inside, they would not let us in because they talked about, you know, you can't have umbrellas and everything of that sort. Now, that's their policy. But what rose up on the inside of me was some anger that I don't even know where it came from. I was so angry and upset and frustrated. And I actually said, you know, well, who's going to stop us if we go in with this umbrella? I'm going to sell the gospel now. But I it was on the inside of me to come up, and it rose up in me just that quick. So the lady said, well, you can go to the vendors and try to see if maybe the vendors can hold on to the umbrella or something of that sort. And I was angry. I had gotten angry just that quick. Now, these are the policies and the procedures of the stadium. Who am I, who is Erica, to want them to change the policy? But I'm telling you, can you see that God was in that? He was in that right then. So to make a long story short, I couldn't leave the umbrella with the vendor, so I ended up having to walk to the car, which was what seems to me like a mile away. But as I was walking to the car, the Lord began to deal with me. Because for me, and it should be really for everyone, God begins to deal with you in the very situations that you're in. So as I'm walking to the car, I don't really sweat a whole lot unless I'm in boot camp or unless I'm working out. But I began to sweat. I'm telling you, sweat. It was so hot to me walking to the car. So as I got to the car and I was able to drop the selfie stick, drop the umbrella, drop my son's jacket, drop the towel, and I was able in the car to change my shirt. After I sat there for a while and got out of the car and went ahead and walked back into the game, the Lord began to deal with me even more. Then when I woke up this morning, he dealt with me. He said, Erica, what was in you came out. When they told you something that you did not want to hear, which was their policies and their procedures, what was on the inside of you because it didn't sit well with you came up on the outside. And I said, God, please forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me. He said, and then did you see all the things that you had with you that you had to drop off? You had to drop off in a car. You had to get rid of those weights that weighed you down, made you start sweating and everything. This is what we do, women of God, when we have so many different issues and things going on in our lives. We have so much weight on us, we don't even realize it. And so I looked at that thing. Even this morning, I looked at that thing and I said, God, even after I got out of the car, after I dropped all of that weight, after I sat there for a little bit, I was a new person when I got out of the car. And this is I'm telling you, check this out. Hear me and stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. We were taking pictures. My family and I, we were taking pictures and everything, even before the game. And every picture they took of me, I was like, I don't like that one. 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 But it wasn't what was on the outside I didn't like. God was showing me right then it was something on the inside that I didn't like that showed up on the outside in the pictures. And I was like, God, you are dealing with me. But after I was able to get rid of that, I left out of that car. I was a new person. And God was working on me this morning about what's on the inside. So, women of God, what we're going to be dealing with tonight are virtues, the virtue of love, number one, that we're going to be dealing with tonight so that God can get to the very core of our being. And I want to keep you encouraged, women of God. This is nothing negative. It's nothing to say that, okay, you cannot be changed. You've been this way for 30-something years. You can never change. Absolutely not. God can do what we cannot do. We rely on ourselves. We rely on our own strength to change, and we cannot change ourselves. Only God can do it. When he identifies in us that area that's on the inside that bubbles up and comes out, and causes us to act a certain way in certain situations, he wants to get to that area so that he can work on us. And I've heard it said before, even from my mentor, what God reveals is what he wants to heal. And from her spiritual father, what he reveals to you, what he reveals to me is the area that he wants to heal us in. So let's get right to the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our word this evening is going to be coming from Proverbs 4 and 23. Proverbs 4 and 23. And it reads, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. That's the only verse we're going to be looking at, because that's enough right there to cut us to the core and to get to the very inner of our being that God wants to deal with. So when it says in the word of God, Proverbs 4 and 23, keep your heart. Some translation says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. What does it mean to guard? Guard means to control the access, to watch over. And vigilant means to be awake, to alert, be alert for danger. So we got have to guard our heart. I don't know if any of you all have guard dogs in your house, at your house, like in your backyard, that if anybody steps across that perimeter, oh, it's free game, it's free territory, because that dog will tear them into shreds. That is how God wants us to be when it is concerning our heart. What the Lord showed me yesterday, he said, Erica, there is anger in your heart. It is in your heart. And I'm like, God, you know, where did this come from? Sometimes I say to myself, I'm like, why did I say that? Why did I just do that? These people at the stadium, they were doing their job. Their policy said no umbrellas. But I had anger in my heart somewhere that might have been deep down in the crevice, probably some residue in there, that just them telling me that you cannot bring it in, lit a match, I'm telling you, will cause that thing to come out. That's what God wants to deal with in us women of God, the virtues that we have on the inside of us. We have sometimes been so challenged with issues of life that we guard our hearts from the very thing that we need to strengthen us. So hear what I'm saying. Hear what the Lord is saying tonight, rather. God wants us to guard our heart with all vigilance, but many times we guard our heart from the very things that God wants to get to us to strengthen us. And this really happens sometimes with two sets of people, if you will. Just we're talking about marriages, and we're talking about, you know, those that are divorced. A lot of times women that are divorced, they guard their heart so that if someone else decides to come into their life, they got to pay for what the other person did and the former spouse did, because we're guarding our hearts in the wrong way. And sometimes those of us that are married and may be experiencing issues and everything in our marriage, some ups and downs, it will cause for us to guard our heart in a way that God wants to strengthen us. He wants to strengthen us so that we know how to properly guard our heart. What do we mean by guarding our heart? Hallelujah. I'm glad that you asked that. Our ear gate, our eye gate, even our mouth gate is so very important. Sometimes the things that we see, the things that we hear, the words that we speak, my God, they are the areas and the doors and the gates that causes things to get down into the very core of our heart, which ends up coming out in different situations. My Lord, could it have been something that I may have said, and I'm just using me, and I hope that you all use yourselves as well. Could it be something that I have said, something that I've watched that I shouldn't have watched, something that I was listening to that I should not have been listening to, that caused for that anger to rise up within me as soon as those people at that gate told me I couldn't bring the umbrella in? See, it seems really simple to a lot of people. But God wants to really get to the core of our heart. And see, I don't take things and I don't look at things the same way, you know, a lot of other people do. They may look at things and be like, oh, well, Erica, you know, it's not that bad because you didn't say. No, no, no. The way God deals with me is you are my minister of the gospel. You got to guard what you hear. You have to guard what you say. You have to guard what you watch, because you are ministering my gospel, and you cannot minister from a place, hallelujah, of anger or from a tainted heart or anything of that sort. A lot of times as we're guarding our heart, because I'm getting to the virtue of love, as we guard our heart, sometimes as we guard them, like I said, we're guarding our heart from the things that God wants to use to strengthen us, it will cause us to operate from a wounded heart and sometimes from a hardened heart. Now, a wounded heart is a heart that will kind of keep you in a place of being challenged with a victim mentality, like everything, woe is me. You know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. Oh, it always happens to me. Or everybody's doing this to me. Nobody's listening to what I have to say. And because we're operating from a wounded heart. We've been so hurt that we have not allowed God to heal us in that area, that now everything that we think, say, or do comes from a place of a wounded heart. Or could it be that we have a hardened heart where people wouldn't even want to be around us because our heart is so hardened? I mean, I'm telling you, sometimes we have a heart that's so hardened towards things. Like, for example, if we're looking at relationships, if we've been through some, I'm telling you, we've been through the dirt in relationships, the next person that comes along, you're like, if he blinks his eyes too hard, I'm out the door, because we have a hardened heart where we just will not tolerate anything. Am I saying by any means that we're supposed to tolerate everything? No. But what I am saying is that we have to walk with God in every area of our life. We have to walk with God and step with God. So if someone does something to us, we've got to go to God. He's the bomb. Hallelujah. B-A-L-M. He's the balm that can heal us in those areas. So what hurts us, we got to run to our daddy. We got to run to our father. We got to run to our God. We got to run to our strong tower and say, God, I'm hurting in this area. I don't want to operate from this area in my heart. I don't want to look at my husband cross-eyed if he says the wrong thing. I don't want to look at my ex-husband cross-eyed if he does the wrong thing. I don't want to look at, you know, men in general, for those of you all that's single. I don't want to look at men in general the wrong way because I've been hurt so bad. We got to run to our Father. We got to run to our God and say, God, help me. Help me and teach me to know how to guard my heart. See, God doesn't say in his word in Proverbs 4:23, he doesn't say, I'm going to guard your heart. He says, you guard your heart. You keep your heart with all vigilance. And that the example that the Lord gave me as well, it's like if we see a battle happening, let's say we're sitting somewhere and we see a battle happening, or we see let's use a store. We see a robbery going on, and we're in a car. We're in our safe place, if you will. We don't get out of the car and go into the store and engage in the robbery. We guard ourselves and we protect ourselves. Either we stay in that car or we pull off. But we don't get out and go in somewhere, and we're supposed to be guarding and protecting ourselves. We're talking about regular, you know, civilians. I'm not talking about police officers and those that actually do that as their field and as their field of work. But we guard ourselves. We protect ourselves. We protect our children. And we see this in the natural. We see this in the physical. But God is saying the same way we guard our home, the same way we guard our cars with alarms and alarms in our home, the same way we guard our children, God is saying with us, guard your heart. Hallelujah. With all vigilance, that means that you are awake and you are alert for danger. If anything comes your way, you're not sleeping and things happening. Things are happening while you're sleeping. No, you are alert. You are vigilant. You are watching what's going on. God is saying, guard your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A lot of times, and this is a side note, when we're guarding our hearts, when we're trying to say, okay, God, help me and show me, there are things that we may even watch, something as simple as things on television. Women of God, hear me from my heart today. We don't recognize and we don't realize how some of the things that we watch on television has a direct effect on how we behave, if you will, and how we conduct ourselves in an everyday living. We don't understand how some of the things that we watch on television, some of the movies that we watch, we don't understand it has a direct effect on how we live our lives. If we are in a place, my God, hear me, ladies, if we are in a place and we're single and we're practicing, and if you will, we're not, I don't even want to say so many words, practicing, but if we're living in a place of holiness and we're not saying, okay, I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to do this, I need to be able to stay on this road of holiness. Because, see, holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is a lifestyle. That means that you are being holy, because God said, be holy because I am holy. My God, be ye holy, for I am holy. That means that we cannot be watching television shows where there's a lot of sexual connotation and sexual undertones and everything. Because believe me, if it's coming in your ear gates and your eye gates, you are prone to do it. You're prone to do it. It'll be playing around in your mindset. Your thoughts will start to sit, and you'll probably sit there and be like, you know, I should call so-and-so. Or I should just call and just see how they're doing. You know, I know we don't talk anymore, but I just may call. Oh, I'm going to go by that house and see how they're doing. Guard your hearts, women of God, with all vigilance. For out of it, as the scripture says, flows the springs of life. Out of your heart flows the springs of life. And in some translations, it says flows the issues of life. You ever seen someone? It doesn't only have to be a woman, it can be anybody. It's like when they come into a room, you just like, it's like a dark cloud comes with them because they're operating from what's in their heart. You see the glass as half full. They see the glass as half empty. You see the good in someone. They can only see the bad in that person. We've got to guard our hearts, women of God, with all vigilance. And as we go into the virtue, we're talking about women implementing virtues for everlasting success. The virtue that we're going to look at tonight is the virtue of love. My God, this is one that will cut deeply to the core. And this is one that we have to go through every single day. We cannot for 1 second and say, okay, I'm just going to go over and read, 1 Corinthians 13, and let me stop right here. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, and it will, for lack of better words, it will tear you up. I remember, along with my mentor, how I went through the Respect, Daryl, a class for marriages. And one of the lessons that my mentor had us to go through every single day was 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to go through a little bit of that tonight. And also, it cuts to the core. It cuts to the core. Because so many times we use the word, I love you, or I'm in love with you, and we don't necessarily understand the true definition of 1 Corinthians 13 as it pertains to love. When I look at love, we look at John 3:16, which is a scripture that we know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the true demonstration of agape love. That God will give his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And also the scripture that talks about when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's enough right there to help us understand this whole, help us to understand love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means that when I was in my dirt, when I was in my mess, when I was doing everything that I should not have been doing, saying what I wanted to say, telling this person off, telling this person how to get on the bus, and telling them how to get off the bus, and all this other kind of stuff, Christ still died for me even at that time. Christ still died for those, not only for those that he knew would serve him, but he's God. He even died for those that he knew would never serve him. God loved this world so much that he sent his Son to die for those that he knew would serve him and for those that he knew would never serve him because he's God. So we're looking at the virtue of love tonight, women of God. I know this is going to cut. I know this is going to, listen, it's going to cause for all of us to take a very, very close look at ourselves and help us to understand who God is in our life and understand what it truly means to love. 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all, continue to love one another fervently, for love throws a veil. This is what one translation says. Love throws a veil over a multitude of faults. Now, again, I want to make sure that everyone is with us tonight. We're talking about the virtue of love. We're talking about the virtue of love and how, if we don't have love within our heart, how we will operate from a place of either a wounded heart or operate from a place of even a hardened heart. But we have to understand what God is saying as far as guarding our heart. See, all of this, all of these are heart issues. All of these are things dealing with our heart. If we do not understand what love is and what God's love is, we will operate from that place. So I'm going to go back to what happened to me yesterday. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when we look at that, and when we look at how it says love is patient and love is kind, my love, God's love in my life yesterday was challenged. God's love in my life yesterday was challenged. Let me say that again. God's love in my life was challenged yesterday. When someone said something to me that I did not want to hear, that I felt was not good, and that I didn't want to comply. That's what it really was. I didn't want to comply to what they were telling me to comply to. What if I needed to minister to that person at that time? What if that person needed to know who God was? See, I'm just being transparent. I'm just laying myself open tonight for you all to know that this is something that we all have to deal with. What if God wanted to use me at that particular time to witness to that person and to tell them about God's love? how could I go back to that person and try to tell them anything about what thus saith the Lord when I just said to him, who gonna stop us from coming in here with this umbrella? I gotta stop right there. God wants us to get a better understanding of the virtues on the inside of us. He did not, when I say he, God did not allow that to happen with me yesterday for me to condemn myself or to come down on myself or to be hard on myself. He allowed that to happen yesterday for him to show me and for him to let me see, Erica, this is still an area for you. This is still an area in your life. Yeah, sometimes people may correct you or do things or say things, and you might be okay with that, but what about the times when you don't feel, Lord, like being corrected? Or when you don't feel like being told that you can't do something? God showed me myself yesterday, women of God. He showed me yesterday. Let's go through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read from the Message version. My God. And it says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. Verses 3 through 7, and this is the one that's going to get with us right now. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nothing, and I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, or what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for oneself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle. See, that was me yesterday, flying off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with everything, puts up with anything, rather. Trust God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. That was, I'm just reading verses 1 through 7. So right there, ladies, women of God, God is really, really wanting us to understand virtues in a greater way. What is at the core of our being? And I'm speaking to the woman right now. I'm speaking to the wife that is fed up with her husband, because maybe he's not doing what you feel that he needs to do as a husband. Maybe he's not saying what you feel he needs to say as a husband. And you're being short-tempered. You're being, like, not patient. I'm speaking to this to the wife now on the line that is just fed up and aggravated. Love is patient, women of God. Love is kind. I'm speaking to the single woman that is fed up with every man that comes her way, or fed up with people in general, or believes that, you know, it's never going to happen. Love is patient. Love is kind. Or to the speaking to the woman that is divorced, who feels that, okay, I'll never go down that road again. I'm just not even going to be bothered. I'm going to be by myself for the rest of my life. I just don't even want to be bothered with no man. Love is patient. Love is kind. I'm speaking even to the one that may be a widow who has lost her husband and still may be a little bitter in some areas about him not being there, or even bitter, or maybe even have some resentment even towards God. Let's be honest here. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never gives up. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. I'm speaking to that woman of God right now on the line that's struggling and teetering, and saying, I don't know, you know, really, you know, what to do. I'm lost. I don't know where I am as far as ministry is concerned. I don't know, you know, what to do, because everyone says this, everyone says that, everyone does this, everyone does that. You know, I know I'm anointed and I'm this and I'm that, and they don't respect my anointing. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, spiritually what I'm hearing. Love doesn't boast. Love doesn't strut. See, God is getting to the very core of us. And the one that got me says love never gives up. Love never gives up. And love puts up with anything. I'm speaking to the woman of God on the line tonight that said, I'm just not going to put up with it. I'm just done. I'm not even going to deal with this anymore. Love puts up with anything. Believe me, God will speak. God will continue speaking. He's going to speak to you right in your situation. The question is, God, to God, what is it that you want for me to do? What is it that you're showing me in this situation? Because I'm telling you, the calls, the text messages, everything, I'm telling you, all of stuff, all of this that comes, the text messages, the emails, just I don't know what else to do. All I can do is point you back to God. I'm a vessel. Erica doesn't have all of the answers. Erica's been through some things, and I'm able to give you godly counsel, because I'm never going to tell you to walk out of your marriage. I'm never going to tell you to do that. And there's so many different things that goes on in this life, but what is God saying to you in the very situation that you're in? I'm speaking even to that woman that's getting ready to get married. Love is patient. Love is kind. You haven't seen anything until you say, I do. That's when the marriage begins. The wedding is beautiful, but the marriage begins after you say, I do. Because I often say this sometimes when I remember, even when I first got married, I remember saying, you know, I say I do, he say I do, and the devil say I do too. Because that's exactly when he starts to come in to rip up the covenant. Woman of God, you on the line, stay vigilant. Guard your heart. Do you understand that God could be using you to demonstrate his perfect love to somebody else? Wife, God could be using you to demonstrate his perfect love to your husband. Because, see, it's easy to minister to other people. It's easy to get on the platform and minister to people that you don't know. But how easy is it to minister to someone that sees you every day, that knows your ups, that knows your downs, that knows your flaws? God could be using you, woman of God, to demonstrate his perfect love to your man of God. So in closing, because that's all the Lord has given for me to give to you all tonight, we that are women implementing virtues for everlasting success, let us, even as we get ready to go into the holiday season, you know, I love Thanksgiving, I love Christmas, I love all of that. And you know, it would have been ideal for us to do a message dealing with Thanksgiving. And initially I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe that might be the route that God may take me, but that's not how God took me. God wants to deal with the virtue of love, because God wants to use you, woman of God, to impact even just your family. He wants to use you to impact your job. He wants to use you to impact your church. But I'm telling you right now, this is something that we have to go to God every single day, about love. God, help me to love. There's a song that Israel Houghton has that says, I want to love like you love. I want to love others the way that you love others. I want to be able to love other people the way that you love us. That's a mouthful right there. Because sometimes we want to pick and choose who we want to love. We want to pick and choose who we want to let into our heart. We want to pick and choose, but God could be sending you that person because he wants to demonstrate his perfect love through you. You and I are vessels. You and I are God's hands. We're his legs. We're his feet. We're his mouthpiece here on the earth. And some of you, because there may be some of you on the line whose husband is not saved, whose husband is not, thank you, Holy Ghost, because I just heard that, whose husband is not saved, whose husband is not even trying to have a relationship with God. Could it be that God is trying to use you as the vessel to bring your husband into the fold? Because no matter what he has done, no matter what he is doing, and no matter what he will do, God still loves him. And God wants to use you to bring him in. Because see, he sees the inside of you, your husband does. He knows who you are. He knows your flaws. He knows how to step on that toe and cause you to just go into a whole nother place. But when he can touch that toe or step on that toe and you don't, will fly off the handle, because you've allowed God to strip you of those things that you think and I think are correct and replace them with his love. See, love, as it said here in the Word of God, covers a multitude of sin. Love, as it said in even one of the translations, covers, takes a veil and covers everything, covers a multitude of faults. Then your husband that is not saved, or even let's use, you know, your children or your family members that may not even be saved, they can say, if she has changed, and if she's not flying off the handle like she used to, oh, I know there's a God. I got to serve that God that she serves. This is what God wants to do with us. So as we continue and as we go on in the months to come, I'm going to flow with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to flow with what God says to flow with. I'm going to say what God says to say concerning this line. So I want for us to be on the same page and understand that God not only wants us to have the virtues, but he wants for us to implement the virtues as well. It ought to be, I mean, oozing through us. People ought to see the love. And I'm telling you from my mouth right now to your ears, if I could turn back the hands of time and go back and change the way I conducted myself, it may have been simple to some people, but I know what God has called me to do. And I know how God has called me to walk. And I know how God has called me to conduct myself. If I can turn back the hands of time yesterday, when I said that to that man, I would turn back the hands of time and say, God, please, do over. You know how we used to say do over in school? Do over, God. So as I close in prayer tonight, I do want to, we're still, you know, trying out Blog Talk, so we're still trying to see if we can be able to unmute any callers. But those of you that do have my cell number, and you may want to send a text real quick if you wanted to say something and I'm not able to unmute you, you can go ahead and send a text and I will say it over the line. But in closing, I just want to say for us women of God, please go through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, even look at the Message version. Please look at Proverbs 4:23. When I say look at, I'm talking about meditate on it. Please meditate on 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. So again, it's 1 Corinthians 13, Proverbs 4:23, 1 Peter 4:8. Please meditate on these. And when we say meditate meaning to get in a quiet place. And my friend Ava mentioned last week on the line, the Truth Forum line, that it's not easy to meditate. It's not easy to sit and meditate because so many different things try to come and distract you. So at this time, I do want to close out of prayer, but I want to give everyone an opportunity. Let me see if we can try to unmute this line. If anyone wants to come forward and they have a question, if you have a question you want to come forward, you most definitely can do so at this time. And then we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to be off the line. We have about 16 minutes, so if anyone wants to come forward at this time, please do so. The line is unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay. I'm unmuting everyone so they can just come forth whenever they're ready.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone that would like to come forward at this time? Maybe something in this word touched you. Go ahead,
hi,
ma'am.
Good evening. Hi, Minister Caldwell. This is Ms. Coldress. I just want to share a similar story about that umbrella. That same exact situation happened to me. I was going to the Classic, and one of Helen's friends prior to us going to the Classic had been hospitalized for bronchitis. And, of course, it was raining, and I was trying to get into the stadium. Even if I didn't need an umbrella for myself or my daughter and the other girl, I wanted to have an umbrella for her, and they would not allow us to get the umbrella into the stadium. But, of course, I did not get upset. I'm not going to say that. That did not happen in that same situation, but I think I got upset when we went to buy the raincoats. They were selling raincoats outside, and they were, of course, the prices were extremely high for the raincoats, and they were like little throwaway raincoats that once you use them, you're not going to recycle them again. And the raincoats, you can buy them from a dollar store. And I became angry at that table because I just felt like they were really taking advantage of people in a situation where you needed covering. And the raincoats were like almost $10. $1 raincoats were almost $10. And I was so angry because I wanted to make sure I had covered this young lady. And I wanted all the other girls to have raincoats. And I could tell I became so angry. I paid for it, but it was not paid for without, you know, just paying for it quietly and calmly. I paid for it, and I just bickered the whole entire time I was paying for it. So I just want to tell you, I identify with your situation with your raincoat trying to get into the stadium. And it showed me that I still have a lot of cleaning up myself. Still got a lot of bills inside, always coming up.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. All right, all right. Thank you for coming forward. Thank you for coming forward with that. I appreciate it, most definitely. Is there anybody else that would like to come forward at this time? I have, we have time for about maybe two or three more. You can, because the line is already unmuted.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, this is Kathy. How you doing, Mr. Coswell?
Good. How are you?
I wanted to thank you as well because I can relate to the I didn't go to the classic. I didn't have an umbrella experience, but I had the experience of when I work out, and my mind went straight to when you are, even after you start working out, for me, I'm steady sweating. And, you know, even sometimes like after I take a shower, it's like I'm just like, okay, where am I still? Feel my face will be just, you know, I guess from the steam and, you know, just all these different impurities are coming out. These different toxins are still coming out. And my mind went to that when you were saying that God, well, you know, it was something inside of you God was trying to get out. And I'm just, you know, I'm thankful that you were able to be transparent and to identify those, that it was something that God was pulling out of you. And it made me just reflect on how I've been dealing with situations to where if I'm still reacting the same way, that means that I need to take some time and let God purge those different toxins out of me. So I thank you so very much for allowing me to realize that and also, you know, make a connection with that. So I thank you so very much for the word tonight as well.
Amen. Amen. To God be praise. To God be praise. To God be praise. He'll do it. I'm telling you, it'll be something so practical, just something so simple that sometimes you might miss it. But listen, God is always speaking. He's always speaking.
Amen.
And so it's we need to be in a place of, are we always listening? You know, because I really could have dismissed that yesterday and just went, but God is like, no, Erica, you're going to see this. You're going to see this because I want you to be to get this right, to get this right. So thank you. God bless you for coming forward. Is there anyone else that would like to come forward at this time? I have time for two more.
Hello?
Hi, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. It's Minister Amica. How you doing, Minister Erica?
Ah, good. How are you? Good to hear you.
Likewise, I'm glad to know you guys are back. I was listening to Christina Kane this morning on my way to church, and she was talking about the core. And I'm going to share a couple of things with you. When I was taking physical therapy since July, since I retired from working, and I used to walk a lot where I worked, and I thought maybe I was in shape, I was doing well, but I realized that I was not even touching the core muscles. I had a problem with my back. And I said, well, God, how can this possibly be? I exercised, and I was doing everything I was supposed to have been doing, but those core muscles was not even being touched by me walking daily at the hospital that I worked at. But and when I looked at it, when I heard the priest this morning, and she was saying the core, this was on the inside, you know, and I asked God to continue to help me on my shortcoming because I can see a lot of things going on inside, in and outside the church, and we always talking about we love each other, you know, but when that test comes for someone that's inside the church, do I love this person? As I say, mm-hmm. I love this person because that test mm-hmm. is going to come. And I want to make sure, am I able to go, I'm going to make sure, can I go through the test without complaining about it, without talking about it, or saying something in my mind and not knowing him but myself and God. But I just want to share that, you know, I'm glad to be back. I really miss you guys. I'm telling you, I really miss you guys for them 2 years that y'all wasn't around. I think it was 2 years. But I'm so glad to know that you're back on the air. And also, a shout out to the Wildcats. I'm an alumni from Bethune-Cookman, so I'm glad that you found you.
All right, Minister Amica.
Everyone said that, you know.
I know, yeah.
Everyone
said that. Stick that in somewhere.
I had to throw it in.
I know you did. And bless God for that. I have a room for one more, then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to go ahead and close out the line and give you an announcement for tomorrow. If there's anyone that would like to come forward at this time, the line is unmuted, so you can at this time.
Good evening, Minister Caldwell Clint.
Good evening.
This is Reverend Pam, and how are you?
I am well, and how are you? Good to hear you.
God is strengthening me each and every day, and I am truly, truly grateful.
I wanted to say
that I'm thanking God for how He has allowed you to tap into so many areas of our lives and where we truly need it. We are a lot of times not realizing where God has placed us, and for that opportunity that we have each and every day to shine and to let our light shine. And so someone looking at a situation like that, I think we've all been in something similar where we've acted out and we say, oh, God, did you see that? And He saw that. And so we have to, you know, you brought it really close to home tonight because we're a living testimony. And our first ministry is home. And so
Amen. The
way we carry ourselves and what we're doing, we are truly, it's how we're grooming our daughters to act. We're teaching our sons how to act. And all of these examples are coming through us. And
Amen.
So as you shared on tonight, I was very, very grateful for the word, but I want to just add to it that we have to be reminded of the fact that we're not God's secret agents, but we're His frontline agents. We're always in the spotlight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
People
so true.
Are watching what we say and do, and our lives have got to measure up. I just want to be what God wants me to be.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Sometimes that emotional side of us get a little petty, and every little thing is wrong. We got to get past and do what that.
Amen.
That scripture told us to be, I love you and good night.
Good night. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Women of God. Can Minister Buffer, can you go back and mute the line for me? Okay. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and give an announcement for tomorrow. We are under the platform of the Truth Forum, and the Truth Forum is a ministry created and actually birthed through Minister Ava Bethel. That was the one that you heard that I muted the line this evening. And we are back with the Truth Forum, and it is Monday mornings at 4:45 a.m. And I want to go ahead and give you the code so that you all can be on the same page. You definitely want to get on. It's 1-712-432-3900. Again, 1-712-432-3900. And the access code is 854-739-POUND. Now, don't panic if you didn't get the phone number. Please email truthforum, the number one, at gmail.com. Truthforum, the number one, all one word, at truthforum1 at gmail.com. And we can send the information out to you to call in. Or if you have my number and you want to get the information, tomorrow's topic is dealing with the qualifying of an intercessor. And I'm telling you, the Lord has allowed this woman of God to teach about intercession. So we want to hear you tomorrow morning at 4:45. I gave the number. If you need it and you have my number, text me, or you can email truthforum1@gmail.com to get the call and information. So at this time, I'm going to close out in prayer and thank God for everyone joining us tonight on the Wise Line, Women Implementing Virtues for Everlasting Success. You can also email truthforum1@gmail.com to get this recording. If you want this recording, you want to share it, you can email that number, that email address, and we'll send the code out to you to hear it. Now, most precious Father, we thank you, Lord God, this evening for every single woman of God that's on the line tonight. We thank you for the word that came forth, God, dealing with virtues, dealing with the virtue of love, dealing with guarding our hearts, Lord God, with all vigilance, because we know, according to your word, out of it flows the issues of life. I pray for every single woman, every married woman, Lord God, every divorced woman, every widow on this line, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that we will understand, Father, that you are trying, hallelujah, every day to form yourself even more within us, God. You already made us in your image, but it's the forming and the processing that we go through, Lord God, so that people will see you in us, God, and not us. So, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over every woman of God tonight on this line. Father, everyone that you have called forward, Lord God, to do the will, hallelujah, to do your will, Father God, we thank you right now, Lord, that they will understand truly what it means, my God, to operate in the virtue of love. God, I bless you. God, I thank you. God, I magnify you. God, we just honor you so very much this evening for every woman of God. Now, Father, I pray that even as we sleep tonight, God, you will even begin to deal with us in our dreams. You will deal with us, Lord God, even as we wake up in the morning, Father. And God, that we will understand that we're not in a place of condemnation, God, because you said there's no condemnation in us, Lord God, that love you and that's in you, Father. So, Lord, I thank you right now in Jesus' name that we will pick ourselves up. Hallelujah, we will brush ourselves off, Father, and we will keep going. So, Father, tonight, if there's any wife on this line, Lord God, that has not demonstrated your perfect love to our husband, Lord God, I pray tonight there be a turnaround. I decree and declare a turnaround in every wife on this line tonight. I decree and declare a turnaround, Lord God, in every divorced woman on this line tonight, God. I decree and declare a turnaround in every single woman's life, Lord God, on this line. And every woman that may be a widow, Lord God, every woman of God represented on this line tonight, a turnaround, Father. We will not operate in a place of frustration, Lord, because you loved us while we were yet sinners, Lord God. You sent your son Jesus to die for us, Lord, while we were yet sinners, Lord God. So I thank you that you're teaching us, Lord, how to operate, Lord God, and how to be your true vessels of honor. So God, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor again this night, and it is so in Jesus' name. Manifest. Hallelujah. Have a great evening, everyone. God bless you all, and we'll see you again next month in December, the fourth Sunday in December. And I don't have a calendar in front of me. I'm sorry. But you'll get the flyer, and you'll get the information for next month. God bless you all. Have a great evening, everyone. Good night.